It's just after 6 o'clock here on 88.7 WLUW Chicago. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from the 100-watt bacteria-laden ice cube, 88.7, and podcasting exclusively from OutsideTheLoopRadio.com, coming to you from a soundproof booth on the corner of Clark and Fullerton in Chicago, this is another edition of Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Thank you, little announcer guy, for that oh-so-appetizing introduction.
Mm-mm-mm.
He did such a great job with that. What did he call us? The bacteria-laden 100-watt ice cube or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, Nick, he's out of control.
Yep. Well, get your drink on. That's where he's going. I mean, he's probably going to Neo down the street. Aren't we right? We're right by Neo.
Do a little dancing.
Put his black pants and his black shirt on. This is Outside the Loop Radio, show number 63 here on 88.7 WLDW. I'm your host, Mike Steven.
And I'm your executive producer, Andy Herman.
And we're happy to be back here, back in the soundproof booth, as we are every week. And this week, we are broadcasting from the corner of Clark and Fullerton, just like the little announcer guy said. It's interesting because there's a lot of dudes in striped shirts knocking the booth around, tapping on it, bumping chests, backwards, white hats. It's very, very strange.
It's distracting, too.
Can I be any more stereotypical about this neighborhood? I sometimes feel like I'm hard on Linkin Park.
A little bit, but you're hard on Linkin Park, but you come down here and hang out with the rest of them.
Well, not with the dudes that are bumping chests.
Yeah, but you hang out here. I mean,
Jenny lives in the area.
You help the local economy of Linkin Park.
There are some places where I don't mind hanging out. There are other places, and I'm not trying to be, crass about it, but there are other places where it's just like a haven for guys who still think that they're in college.
Yeah.
And that's very off-putting to me. Now, some people love that. Some people love paying $8 for a drink and hanging out in that environment. I would rather not do that. And I love going out. And you don't. And that's fine. You are my little homebody, Andy Herman. I'm just going to pinch your cheek. But anyway, that's where we're broadcasting from this week. We take the booth out every week here on Outside the Loop Radio, broadcast from a different area of Chicagoland. So this week, we're at Clark and Fullerton. By the way, have you ever been to that place, Neo, down the street?
I have, yeah. It's been a long, long time.
I was there on Halloween.
Really?
2 years ago.
Wow, I bet it was crazy then.
It was so loud. Was it loud when you went?
Oh, yeah.
It was deafening loud. And I'm not like old by any stretch, but I feel like an old man when I say, that club, that was a very loud, loud place for my delicate ears. It really was, though.
Old man Steven.
I'm old man Steven, I guess. But I love my coffee in Danish, my senior citizen special. I really do. But it was so loud. I mean, Jenny and I were like screaming at each other because we couldn't hear what was going on. But that's okay.
Did you have fun?
It was a good time.
Did you dance?
I certainly did.
Really?
You know I love dancing.
When are you taking me dancing? I got to see this.
You know how? When are you taking me dancing? He says. We are together. Outside the Loop Radio is your almost above ground audio magazine, and each week we come to you and we talk about issues and topics that are going on around the Chicagoland area that maybe you haven't heard about or you haven't heard of. And if you have, we take a different angle on those topics. So it's everything local, and we are all about the community issues that aren't getting talked about, and we try to cover as much stuff as we can here on this half-hour radio show that comes your way each Friday from 6 to 6:30 here on 88.7. OutsideTheLoopRadio.com is the show website. Always go to that website. We're linked up through WLUW.org. That's OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. We have the podcast of the show. We strongly encourage you to subscribe to that podcast. It is free, and you can download us to your MP3 player or your iPod and take us wherever. We have every show ever done here at Albert James Productions. We archive all that stuff on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. We have pictures and video, so it's a great OTL resource. So be sure to go there and sign up for our email list so we can tell you about what we're doing each week on the show before the show actually happens. And Andy, speaking of the email list, we've got some emails here because last week we talked about the story that Chicago might sell naming rights to generate some revenue for the city. And basically, the city has hired a marketing firm to explore the potential for selling naming rights and sponsorships to get cash into Chicago. So we talked about, you know, possibly the Lowe's Chicago L or Old Navy Pier. So they tag on these corporate sponsorships right. to all these things around the city. I can't stand it. I think it cheapens the city. There's got to be another way. I know we need the money, but come on. There's got to be another way. I think it really just – it's almost disrespectful to what this city is all about and the character of the city. But that's just my opinion. Some other people feel differently, obviously. We asked for your opinions, and you can always email us, info@outsidetheloopradio.com. What do you think of this situation? What do you think of this proposal? And if this were to happen, what would be some outrageous sponsorships? I mean, think crazy here. Jenny said, and it's one of our favorites, maybe the Red Line would become the Red Stripe Red Line.
That's not bad.
Yeah, and then she goes on to say maybe they could serve Red Stripe. And I said, I don't think so, Jenny. That ain't happening. I mean, nice try. I hope that works. But maybe Red Stripe would sponsor the Red Line. So something like that. So we asked for your suggestions, your opinions, and your thoughts. Todd emailed us, and he said there will be nothing quite like being greeted at the gateway to the city just west of Grant Park by the Bally's buff Native American on a pony. If Bally's sponsored that statue, that's what Todd thinks it should be called. Drew also emailed us. He said, Mike and Andy, I love this idea. How about this? The Mr. Clean Bean at Millennium Park.
Nice.
The Mr. Clean Bean at Millennium Park.
Very cool. Thanks, Drew.
Now, speaking of emails, Andy, and by the way, like I said, keep sending us your ideas and your thoughts and your sponsorships. We'll read those on the air if you want. We've got this email here that came in from Pat.
Uh-oh.
Pat is a fan of Outside the Loop Radio. Pat lives in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Very nice.
And Pat writes us and says, Dear Mike and Andy, could you please put me on your weekly email list? I've been listening via podcast since about the 10th episode. Now, here's where it gets strange. I love Andy. He is the greatest producer ever. No, I am not one of Andy's relatives, just a big fan. That's all it says.
Thank you, Pat.
That's all it says.
See, Pat gets it. Pat understands the work that goes into radio.
There was also, now hold
Pat
on.
Pat knows great producers.
Yeah, Pat. Thank you, by the way, Pat, for listening. I think you've got some sort of shadow campaign going, some conspiracy, because Manny Flores, when we interviewed him, put up the link on his website, listen to me on Outside the Loop Radio with executive producer Andy Herman.
Yes, sir.
You don't. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I think my reputation just gets out there, and people feel it.
You do all
they
the heavy
know
lifting.
What's going on. That's right.
Well, Andy, I couldn't do it without you, but you're a bastard. So I'm just going to continue to go along here.
Well, you know the key to a great producer?
What's that?
Is finding a golden voice. And I found that golden voice in Mike Steven.
We're going to Neo after the show.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of the show, the 63rd edition of Outside the Loop, my friend. What are we doing later in the program?
Thank you for asking, my fine host, Mike Steven. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to be following up on a story that we did back in OTL number 57. It was a story about the commercial handbill distribution law here in Chicago. And after that, we'll be learning about what the little announcer guy teased at the top of the show, contaminated ice in your restaurants around the city and the suburbs.
Yes, we will, my fine producer friend. But first, we'll look at an issue that's happening in Lincoln Square that has to do with eminent domain. Stay tuned for that. The music on this week's show comes from the local band The Moves. They are playing next week, that's December the 16th, over at The Note. We feature local music each week on Outside the Loop Radio, so you can drop us a line at our email address, info@outsidetheloopradio.com, or befriend us on MySpace. We're on there as well, and maybe we'll play some of your music on the show. So right now, music from The Moves here on Outside the Loop Radio. I'm your host, Mike Steven, in the soundproof booth with executive producer and an all-around good guy, I think, Andy Herman here on WLUW. The issue of eminent domain is really heating up in Lincoln Square. And if you don't know what eminent domain is, basically it's in the U.S. Constitution. It's also in the Illinois Constitution. And basically what it says is that the government can seize private property for public use, but it must provide just compensation as provided by law. And that compensation should be determined by a jury as provided by law. So now we go back to 2005. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that private property may be seized for private commercial development. And most states have since passed eminent domain reform to protect property owners, but Illinois has not. So there's an issue in Lincoln Square right now, like I said, with eminent domain. And to talk about this, on the phone is Imre Hidvegi. He is the co-owner of Chicago Soccer. That's at 4839 Northwestern Avenue. And he's also part of a coalition called Save Lincoln Square. That is a community-based coalition of small business owners and activists who oppose the use or threat of eminent domain for private development in Lincoln Square. Imre, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're quite welcome. Now, you are a small business owner in Lincoln Square, but to talk about this whole issue, we have to go back to the year 2000. I mentioned what happened in 2005 with the Supreme Court, but going back to the year 2000, when the city council gave the city the power to condemn businesses for private developers, that happened that year. Tell us a little bit about how this all factors in into what's happening in Lincoln Square right now.
Basically, what had happened was is the alderman had claims that he had developers calling him wanting to sort of piecemeal the properties together to do their own developments, and that in receiving those phone calls, he decided to do an urban study with the Friedman and Lakota group to see what would be the best thing for the neighborhood. And they came up with a plan that stretches one block north on Western from Lawrence, and then one block south on Western, and then both a block and a half east and west on Lawrence. And what they came up with was a set of plans that they said that the community had partaken in designing, which is not true. And basically they said they were only ideas back at the last community meeting they had 18 months ago in May of 2006. Now we fast forward to this year, and after the elections, they conveniently put it before the Community Development Commission, who voted on it, and they went also before the Housing and Real Estate Committee, who approved their resolution. And we are now, the 16 parcels on the eastern side of the 4800 block Northwestern are now on a acquisition list. And the next step is that the Department of Planning from the City of Chicago will create a request for development, and once that is made public, then the developers can line up and submit their bids for the project.
So just to clarify a few things, we're talking about Alderman Gene Schulter, and this is in the 47th Ward. And the proposal that you talked about was part of a TIF district, a tax increment financing district eligibility study. And so basically what happened is, though, as I understand it, 437 buildings on 70 blocks were dedicated as a conservation area, which means that the city has the power to condemn businesses and give those businesses to private developers for their use, right?
That's correct.
So this issue is obviously pretty important to you and the businesses. I think you said there were 16 businesses that are eligible to be condemned. Why is this happening in your area? Why your businesses? Why do you think this is all going down like it is?
Well, I think that, you know, we started our business in 94, and I think over that amount of time, over those 13 years, the community has grown, and it's become a hot area to live and visit and do your shopping and go out to eat. And I think it's an opportunity that the city sees that they can do a land grab, take the properties, and create more retail space and more condos. And basically, that's the big thing on the block is it's not only retail space they want to recreate, they want to create a large number of new condos in the area.
And that development of condos and retail space has been going on all over the city, not just in Lincoln Square. And of course, we run the risk of having this city just full of condo buildings that look the same and creating a very homogenous sort of architectural style among these really great neighborhoods like Lincoln Square, which is really thriving. This really doesn't seem fair when you think about it. Your businesses are going to get scooped up if this goes through and then developed by a private developer. You mentioned that Alderman Schulter seems to be in favor of this. Have you gone to him as part of the Save Lincoln Square Coalition? What is he saying when you raise this issue and your concerns to him and his staff?
Well, I've spoken to him in the past, and before we went before the CDC meeting back a few months, he says that we would be included in any new development, being that we're a building owner and a business inside of that. And he says not to worry, that we'll be taken care of. And the problem here is, and I had said it before the CDC committee, and I had asked them, well, if that's the case, am I going to be included in the retail space in the same square footage? Will it be a same dollar value? And will I also be an owner? And they're not able to answer those questions.
SaveLincolnSquare.com is the website. Again, that's SaveLincolnSquare.com. It's a really important issue, and Lincoln Square is really just a fantastic neighborhood. It's one of my favorite neighborhoods in the city. It has so much going for it, and really I hope that your businesses get to stay around. And really, when we talk about eminent domain, I've always understood it to mean land that's taken by the government for public use, like for schools or roads. But this doesn't seem like it's the case. It's for private developers. So money can be made, but so it goes, I suppose. By the way, the number for Alderman Schulter's office is 773-348-8400. That's 773-348-8400. I know we have a lot of listeners in Lincoln Square that listen to WLUW, so it's important that all those listeners know about this issue, and everybody, really, because who knows, it could come to our neighborhoods as well. Emery Hidvegi is the co-owner of Chicago Soccer over at 4839 Northwestern Avenue in Lincoln Square. He's also a member of the Save Lincoln Square Coalition. Emery, good luck, and thanks for giving us some time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
This is Andy Herman, executive producer of Outside the Loop on your listener-supported community radio, 88.7 WLUW.
And this is your host, Mike Steven. Happy that you are tuned in to another edition of the show on this Friday evening. We're happy that you are here. Right now, we're listening to some music from the local band called The Moves. And each week, we feature local music on Outside the Loop Radio. The Moves are playing on December the 16th at The Note. That's a week from this Sunday over at The Note. So you can check out their MySpace page. That's myspace.com/TheMovesChicago. Some good stuff from The Moves. OutsideTheLoopRadio.com is the show website. Hit that up for archives of audio, the podcast of the show, video, and pictures. We have it all on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. Andy, we always like to keep up with stories that we report on here on Outside the Loop. And one of those stories came on OTL number 57 back in October when we talked with Ron Rennick, who is the publisher of Inside Publications. And he has a couple newspapers that are in Chicago, free newspapers. And we talked to Ron about this new commercial handbill distribution law. And what that said was that it would become illegal in the city of Chicago for businesses to distribute pamphlets and flyers and circulars on our front doorsteps. However, in the process, that language also said that free newspapers and free alternative weeklies were also banned if they were going to get dropped off on our doorsteps or in public places. They would essentially ban the process of dropping those newspapers off, which is not a good thing.
Not a good thing, because we like getting those newspapers. We like to hear a lot of voices, and we want to see everything that people are talking about within the community.
Well, Ron and a bunch of other publishers met with Alderman Flores about a month ago, and then they went to the licensing committee for the city of Chicago. And Ron is on the phone right now to tell us how all these meetings went and to bring us up to speed. Ron, welcome back to Outside the Loop.
Thank you a lot, guys.
Now, Ron, where's everything at now? Like I said, you met with Manny Flores, who basically introduced the bill. How did that go?
Well, you ever heard the one about not fighting with people that buy the barrel?
that it pertains to this, huh?
Well, you wouldn't want to do it, especially with 26 to 50 people, because we had a pretty impressive meeting of publishers and general managers of publications, and I think he saw pretty quick that it wasn't a fight he wanted to take. And, you know, with a little bit of massaging, we had a couple of the aldermen that were willing to reintroduce the legislation with the language as pertains to newspapers stricken from that law. And using city council procedure, it goes back before the licensing committee, which is where we were last Wednesday. And indeed, the licensing committee, again with a little massaging and some fun behind-the-scenes negotiating, agreed to accept the language that strikes the language with regards to the newspapers. And they've kicked it back to city council, where we expect a 50-0 vote in favor of the new language. And I think we're free and clear of any other problems with the city thinking they need to manage our distribution. So the short and sweet part of it, I think we won this one.
Well, I think that's really great news. So when you say that you went to Alderman Flores and then you met with the licensing committee last week, and you say that there's some massaging going on, did you have much resistance? Were some of these aldermen and some of these members of the city of Chicago resistant to what you were saying about distribution of your papers?
Let's just say some were more pliable than others. Some didn't feel a lot of heat, and I got to tell you, we had one of our members that, and I'll leave her anonymous since all these negotiations happened in private, but basically threatened a few aldermen and said, look, we put you in office and we can have you thrown out too. And shortly after that phone call was made, the bill was reintroduced, and I mean that day, and I wasn't privy to that phone call, but I sure would have liked to have been. And So these aldermen know they were on thin ice, and none of them really wanted to fight it. We never really faced people that said, no, we're not backing you, you know, we're sticking our guns, we're not going to listen to you guys. Nobody ever really said that, and, you know, Manny Flores, as the sponsor of the legislation, was very, very amenable and also accountable for what he did. He explained why he did it. We understand why he did it, and it was just a little overreaching, and, you know, the people that were there in the negotiations, I think, are pretty much satisfied with the city's position. Now, like you said, it doesn't mean that it's legal to deliver circulars and flyers. That's still law. That's still in place. But as far as newspapers, they no longer feel a need to regulate how we deliver newspapers.
Well, that's really great news that we think here at Outside the Loop, Ron, and congratulations on all that. I just love how Chicago politics works. I love the behind-the-scenes aspect, the closed-door sessions, and as you said, the massaging that sometimes needs to happen to get things done, but sounds like you and your fellow publishers did that. Congratulations, Ron, and we'll look forward to reading your periodicals. Again, Ron Rennick is the publisher of Inside Publications. We just wanted to check in with him again to see what the status of the commercial handbill distribution law was. And you can also go to insideonline.com to check out what Ron and his colleagues are up to. Ron, thanks so much for giving us that update here on Outside the Loop.
Thank you for your attention to it.
I always think that when I go to a diner or a restaurant, Andy, one of the greatest tasting beverages you can have is pop off of the gun or out of, out of like the self-serve vending machines.
The fountain.
Thank you, Andy. See, that's why I have you around here outside the loop. There's something about it. You know, you get a bunch of crushed ice and you fill it with your favorite soft drink and it's so refreshing. And then, of course, afterwards, when you're done drinking the pop, what do?
You take the cup with you and you gnaw on the ice until it's all gone.
Absolutely. Recently, we saw in the Sun-Times, there was this investigation that came out that makes you want to say, hold the ice. Because this study that the Sun-Times did in a test of ice cubes from 49 fast food and casual dining restaurants and hotel bars in the city and the suburbs, the Sun-Times found that more than one of every five samples contained high levels of bacteria. By comparison, now this is what gets me, a water sample taken from a toilet in a men's room at the Sun-Times tested cleaner than the ice obtained at 21 of the restaurants and bars.
Oh
my God. We thought we'd call up Mary Trokin. Mary is the director of the Food Service Sanitation Program at Harold Washington College. And we thought we'd check in with her just to see what this study is all about and what's up with the bacteria in ice cubes. Mary, welcome to Outside the Loop.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, Mary, the study found high bacteria levels in ice cubes. I guess the first question is, how did this bacteria get there in the first place?
Well, there are various reasons. First is you've got a food handler that did not wash his hands properly, which meant that he might have handled raw food products. He might have went to the washroom and did not wash his hand properly or did not wash his hands at all. Another reason is also if the ice gets contaminated on its way to the machine from the ice maker, which would mean that you have a dirty bucket because that's how the ice is carried. And thirdly is that it could have been contaminated in the ice machine. Now, when the ice is being made, the machine is just a machine that makes ice. But what happens is that if the machine is dirty, it's not cleaned on a timely manner, where it's, you know, in order to clean ice machine, it has to be completely emptied and washed out, you know, washed, rinsed, and sanitized on a regular basis. And also the location of the ice machine is also very important, because if it's in an area where you get a lot of, you know, wind blowing by, a lot of traffic, and the cover to the ice machine is not always closed, then naturally dirt and dust and bacteria can get onto the ice.
Now, the amount of bacteria that was found in the ice wasn't really all that high. So although this, we should be concerned a little bit, but it's not enough bacteria that it's going to kill us or we should be really concerned. But on the other hand, we should really know what is in our ice cubes.
Definitely. You should know that, you know, the thing is that because of the cold temperature, a lot of times ice is being mishandled. And that's because we don't realize that ice is a food. Anything that goes into your mouth is a food. So even though the bacterial count is not enough, and many times we can have, you know, cases of waterborne illness, we would have viruses growing on the ice itself and cause illnesses. These illnesses are, again, cause a couple of days of discomfort. It goes away. So usually you get a viral illness. There's a various bacteria, there are various parasites that can grow on it. So it's, again, something for us to be concerned about, especially for young children and for senior citizens.
Well, Mary, is there anything that we can do as consumers? When we go to a restaurant, obviously we don't carry pocket microscopes with us, so we can't look what's inside of our ice cubes. But do we just have to take chances and go out and drink water and soft drinks with the ice in it and just kind of hope that there's nothing too serious in there?
You can do that. But you know what? The other thing is that I think as consumers, we really should open our eyes. We should notice that, you know, as the bucket that is carrying the ice to the beverage machine, is it clean? The person that is handling the ice, you know, that is, whether it's a bartender, whether it's a waiter, waitresses, or a beverage machine itself, that is it clean? Because what you really, you know, as consumers, we are about the only ones that can make a difference, all right? We can say, hey, you know, the bucket is dirty. You should not be using that to dump the ice into the into the reservoir. And also another thing that you can also look for is look for what they call automatic ice makers. And they do have beverage machines that come with those on top.
Well, Mary, it's a very interesting study that we saw, and we thought we'd call you up just to get your take on it. And like I said, there were 49 fast food and casual dining restaurants and hotel bars in the city and suburbs tested. And really, it ranges from lower-end restaurants to high-end hotel bars, like the Drake Hotel was tested, the Hyatt Regency Chicago, and the Sheraton, as well as Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. So it really ran the gamut here of the different types of eateries and bars that were tested. Mary Trokin is the director of the Food Service Sanitation Program at Harold Washington College. Mary, thanks so much for giving us some time, and we'll check out where our ice has been, and hopefully nothing too dirty gets in there.
Absolutely.
That wraps up the 63rd edition of Outside the Loop Radio, and this is 88.7 WLUW Chicago. I'm your host, Mike Steven.
And I'm your executive producer, Andy Herman.
Thanks so much for listening to the program this week. A reminder that we come to you each Friday from 6 to 6.30 here on WLUW as we are your almost above ground audio magazine. We've been broadcasting from the soundproof booth as we always do each week on the show. Time to pack up the booth. We've been broadcasting from Clark and Fullerton, right in the heart of Lincoln Park in Chicago. Andy, let's go. We're going to Neo. You and I are going right over to Neo after the show.
Well, I brought our striped shirts here, so I don't know if we can get to Neo.
Probably couldn't go to Neo.
Yeah, we should go to one of those sports bars.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll bump chest. Very good. We'll drink Red Bull and vodka. It'll be great. This is copyright 2007.
Albert James Productions.
See, this is why I need you here. I don't even know what to say. Thanks to DJ Goldie G, Dave Goldman, for composing the Outside the Loop radio theme song. Lawyer Danny is our legal representation. Thank you, good sir. And stay tuned, because Slacky J and the Reggae Vibes is coming up right now here on WLUW. We'll see you next Friday at 6. Check out OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you again next week.